Mully and Hanley, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station. Michael Lombardi, always seen on NFL Network and Showtime's Inside the NFL. The Mully and Hanley NFL Insider. Twitter.com/Michael Lombardi. Michael Lombardi with Mully and Hanley on 670 The Score.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to The Score, and let's bring in the man himself. He's Michael Lombardi. Does a great job with everything he does, and tonight you can see him on Showtime's Inside the NFL. It is at 8 o'clock in Chicago. Michael, great to see you. Great to sit down with you after talking on the phone so often.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Great to meet you.
You know, let me ask you. You obviously have connections to the Patriot way, and we've talked about guys being trained in what they do, and you and Belichick have a long-standing relationship. When you see a guy like Phil Emery get hired in Chicago, and he talks about the Patriot system, which is apparently he learned it for a year under Tom Dimitroff and then again for 3 years under Scott Pioli, and that's where the Bears are headed now with the Patriot system.
Yeah, he didn't call it the way. He called it the system.
But, you know, again, he didn't work for Belichick. He didn't work for the Patriots. Can you be trained in a system, and can you run a system kind of one guy removed from it?
I think it's a little bit like being in the cooking business. I think if you and I were going to start and open up a restaurant and copy Emeril's recipes, I don't know if we could cook them as good as Emeril cooks them. So I think you have to have your own spin on it. And certainly, you know, when we were in Cleveland with Belichick and myself, you know, we developed whatever that Emery's quoting in terms of the grading system that they use in Atlanta, the grading system they use in Kansas City, certainly the one they use in New England. So I think you have to have a lot of trial and error through it, and I think you have to understand where what you're trying to do. But more importantly than anything, the coach has got to buy into it. It just can't be an independent contractor. I'm going to sit over here and run the Patriot way or the Patriot grading system if the coach doesn't understand exactly what we're trying to do. That's why for me as an executive, it was critical that Belichick and I did it together, not that I came in and said, well, Bill, you do this, or Bill tells me what to do. It was a collaboration of events, and so I think that's going to be the biggest challenge for Phil Emery.
Phil made it a point that he's still going to be on the road. He wants to see, you know, four teams a week and you know, eyeball prospects. I don't know how you can do all that.
He said 6 to 8 teams.
Yeah, and I mean,
I think that's
and
really,
still be in the office Monday and Tuesday, maybe part
that,
of Wednesday.
That's Phil Savage material, right? Isn't that
well,
what got him
I think
in trouble?
You have to, I think, when you George Jefferson and you move on up, you got to move to a different level. You just can't stay the same level. So what's more important is that Phil Emery should really understand the league. He should understand the Packers. He should understand the Vikings. He should understand Detroit. And it's not about the way they played in college, the way he scouted them. It's about how they're playing today. And I think that, you know, that mentality is back in the other days when we didn't have tape, when we didn't have the ability to have access to watching things right at our desk. And I think you can help your team a lot more by staying in the building, by working on the players and understanding the players you have than if you're going off and trying to develop college players. To me, that sounds like you just really want to be a college scout.
He's Michael Lombardi. You're listening to Mully and Hanley on The Score. I guess the other element to this, there's no polite way of saying it, so I'll just say it, it seems to be the process of getting away from Belichick doesn't help any of his lieutenants. I mean, we've seen a lot of these guys. You go through the record of the coaches. You know, Al Groh had a 9-7 record, and that might be the best of these guys. It's like no one has gone off and had great success. Dimitroff has done well in Atlanta, but they haven't won a playoff game, and that's what it's all about. They haven't won. And Pioli, what's going on in Kansas City, it just sounds like a train wreck when you hear the Todd Haley and the candy wrapper story and the great piece that Kent Babb wrote in the Kansas City Star.
Yeah, I think this, and, you know, I say this from a personnel standpoint. You know, I can't do the job without the coach. I can't, and there's got to be the marriage of the coach into the system, and he's got to buy into it. And I think when Scott went to Kansas City, I don't think Todd Haley bought into what was the element of the program, and that's what we called it in Cleveland, the program. And I think down in Atlanta, it's a watered-down version of the program. Mike Smith's doing things differently in terms of how he coaches it. Dimitroff's trying to procure talent that way. But what Bill does up in New England is a lot more than just procuring talent. It's development of talent. It's understanding how to match up to the divisional games and all that. So I think you have to have the coach go hand-in-hand with you. And I think I'm not as effective. I think I learned this working for Al Davis is you know, you can't control the game from the GM's chair. The head coach has to control the game, and you have to supplement that, and you two have to be on the same page. And I think it's very difficult to do that. And I think that's why you see this. Josh McDaniels goes to Denver, but there's not enough people around him that understand what he really wants to do. And he becomes an island, and he's in charge. And then all of a sudden, things fall apart.
Well, how does this play out then with Lovie Smith? Because obviously, Phil Emery takes the job knowing that Lovie's here for at least 1 year. Now, the Bears have been through this before. Dick Geron was fortunate enough to win 13 games, and they had to give him a contract extension. How does this play out? Because you talk about that marriage and the coach having to buy in and know what the GM's doing, and the GM obviously has to look around to decide what's best for the team. Can these two coexist given the kind of the arranged marriage they're in?
Well, I think it's going to be difficult, especially if they don't share the philosophical understanding of players. I mean, you know, one thing about the system that we tried to do in Cleveland that they're still doing in New England is we wanted to make sure that we had the certain style of player on our team at all times. And I think when you look at the Tampa way and what Lovie's accustomed to, I think it's a little bit different. So I think there's going to have to be a marriage. There's going to have to be an integration of where those two things come together, and they're going to have to see eye to eye. The one thing is, it's never about disagreeing. It's about sharing a philosophical understanding with your coach. And then once you do that, then all those other problems become rather easy, because now all of a sudden you've crossed the line. This guy either fits our philosophy or he doesn't. It's not a question of whether he can play or he can't.
This, you know, someone told me one time, and I really liked it, that the coach's job is to win in the now, and the general manager has to protect the team from the coach, because there are two different ideas at play. If you look at what happened with Jerry and Lovie, when Ted Phillips got involved and gave Lovie the contract he gave him, all of a sudden Lovie's making five times the amount of money, roughly, that Jerry was making. And at the news conference where they announced that, he said it's great to work with Jerry for Ted. He promoted himself to on par with the general manager. Jerry, at one point or other, stopped saying no to the coach and started doing anything the coaches want. He really tried hard to please the coach. That, to me, is also a recipe for disaster.
Yes. Yeah, so, it is. No question it is. And I think that's where you have to share the philosophical understanding. Part of the program is, what you have to know is that Mike Martz, let's say, for example, isn't going to get his way on who the backup quarterback is. I don't think Bill O'Brien is telling Bill Belichick who he wants to be the backup, okay? Let's just get that clear. I think Belichick makes all the decision. Coaches coach in New England. Coaches, not all the coaches are involved in the draft process. Not a lot of coaches are involved in that. Now, Phil Emery, if he wants to really adopt the Patriot way or the Cleveland way, he's going to have to take that. He's going to find out who his best evaluators are. He's going to make the coaches coach. They work on off-season projects. And then we're going to build this team together. And I'm sure that if Belichick would have walked out to practice every day and saw Caleb Henney play, I think he would have gone inside and said to me, we need to get a backup quarterback. Or I would have gone down to his office and said, we better get one, and not paid really the respect or the attention to the position coach, because really that's not his job. Al Davis used to say all the time to me, make the coaches feel like they're high school coaches. Just let them work with who they have. Don't make them think they're the general manager of the team. And I think you see sometimes in organizations where assistant coaches are the general managers of the team for their position, and I think that's when you fall apart.
And again, we've talked to you about Mike Tice being promoted offensive coordinator. It was interesting. The Raiders asked for permission to interview Mike Tice for the head coaching position, and then went through a few interviews and basically said, Mike, we don't need you to interview.
Guy.
And
yeah.
So I don't know if the Bears dodged a bullet, because that was the easy thing to do, to promote Mike Tice and maybe avoid the indignity of people telling him we don't want the job because it's not all that attractive. But now you talk about position coaches. Who do you bring in here with Jay Cutler, and how important is that to get the right passing game coordinator / quarterback coach?
Alex Van Pelt is the guy.
Yeah.
I think it's critical. I think it's going to be really critical to get the right guy in to understand what Mike wants to do in terms of the protection. What people don't realize is the passing game doesn't really start with patterns. It starts with protections. And so where Mike is the offensive line coach, he's going to control the protections. Now, typically when you hire an offensive line coach to be the coordinator, you don't have a lot of protections. He's going to protect the offensive line. He's not going to take a lot of chances or liberties with it. It's going to be a little bit more conservative, is the wrong word, but it's going to be more protection towards the quarterback. So I think there's going to have to be a little bit of a marriage. Mike's going to have to give a little bit to understand it, because the great defensive coordinators will attack his protections if they're too simple. So I think you're going to have to find the right guy, the guy that can really get Mike Tice to think differently, get Mike Tice to change a little bit, to get Mike Tice to stay who he is. I think there has to be a collaboration of that. I thought the best was when Nick Saban was in Cleveland with us with Belichick. I mean, both those guys worked towards a common goal, even though they were probably different in how they saw defenses. I think that's what the Bears could really use.
He's Michael Lombardi. You're listening to Mully and Hanley on the Score. The Super Bowl, okay? Now here we are with two coaches that come from the Parcells School, whatever you want to call it, the family tree, 11 different head coaches, and the two of them in this game. As you look at these particular guys in this matchup, the Patriots, what they're doing in their secondary is confounding. It's very difficult. They've managed to get some turnovers, but they have historically bad passing game. You got Eli, who could have had 5,000 yards if they felt like getting it for him. It just seems like such a lopsided matchup, that particular grouping.
Yeah, I think it looks like that. I think certainly all the time when it looks like that one area, it never turns out to be. And I'm sure that what Bill will do is he'll make the Giants play left-handed. I think he's going to dare them to have to run the football to beat them. And maybe they can do that with Ahmad Bradshaw. Maybe they actually can. But, you know, you've got to take Victor Cruz away. And I think they're going to have to double Victor Cruz in the slot. They're going to have to take their chances with Akeem Nicks on the outside if McCourty can actually cover him. And they're going to have to play really good zone defenses. And Bill has a unique ability to coach and make you take away what you really like to do. He's played against Kevin Gilbride an awful long time. Every time they've played Eli in his three games under Belichick, Eli has gotten worse in every game. The best game was the Super Bowl in 2007, and moving forward, so he's gotten worse in every game. So I think once you start to know about a player, I think you know what you need to do. The difficult thing with the Giants, their system, it's Eli, when he moves around a little bit, the David Tyree play is a perfect example, where he buys a little bit more time and he makes a play where he escapes the pressure. I think that's what's got to worry about New England.
I still don't know how he got out of that group. All of a sudden, he just emerged
from that
scrum.
I don't know how Mike Carey didn't call him down. Yeah, I really don't. Yeah. I mean, typically, that's, you know, they're going to blow the whistle there. And I think that's – and what people don't remember about that game, you know, Asante Samuel drops an interception. And it's the same thing happened to him when they played in New England this year. Patrick Chung has the ball in his hands. The game's going to be over. It's going to be a 2017 win for the Patriots. And he drops an easy interception. Next thing you know, they lose.
You know what's amazing about that play, too, when you talk about that pass? The churning of the leg stopped. You know, if you watch it, the pass rush actually thought that they were going to call the sack. They had the sack, and they gave. I don't know. I want to say they gave up on the play, but they thought the play was over.
I think I think every player gets to that point. And I don't want to be too aggressive here. I don't want to get called for a penalty. And I think that clearly that. And you know, Mike Carey let him play. Yeah. And I think that's what we've seen this year in the playoffs is the officials have let everybody play. There's only been 9 holding calls through the entire playoff system, which is really low in terms of. Calls. So I think
that 9 in the whole playoffs?
In all the playoff games, there's only been 9 holding calls. Wow. So what you're seeing is the officials are saying, we're not going to determine the outcome of the game. You guys determine it. And I think they're letting them get away. That favors the Giants, by the way, because now you can be more physical with the receivers.
Who do you like in this game? And full disclosure, your son is part of the Patriots.
Yeah, so. I don't want to pick the game. Yeah. I can't. I don't think it's fair. I think I'm glad you mentioned that because I don't. I mean, I'm rooting. It's his first year in the NFL, so I'm rooting.
That's terrific.
My first year in the NFL was able to win a Super Bowl, so I'm hoping that the fortune passes along. So it'd be fun for him, but I think it'll be a great game. I think one thing when you play the Giants, they're never going to go away from you. It's always going to be a middle of the ring fight, and I think that the Patriots are pretty much going to be that way. And both teams, to me, are mentally tough, and I think both head coaches are head coaches. They're not just play callers.
Michael Lombardi. Michael, thanks a ton.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate
great,
it.
Great meeting you.
Yes, great time.
Thank you.
Michael Lombardi, you're listening to Mully and Hanley on the Score.